Life after the military can feel pretty empty. Without the structure and camaraderie that we once knew, you might start feeling all alone. You might try to fill that emptiness with something that seems like it'll fill that hole, but you may eventually think that nothing will ever be able to fill the void. Corey Brown, our guest today, hit that point after the Army. During his corporate career, he did all the things that he was supposed to do, but none of it was as fulfilling as he knew it could be. So he set off to build something of his own. He started a show, Eat Your Feelings is the name of the show, which became a show where cooking and conversation came together in one kind of unique place. This episode, we're going to get into how we can find a way to fill that void, even if it means starting with something as simple as cooking a meal. But before we get into this episode, I want to take a moment to raise awareness for something that's deeply important to our community, the Global War on Terrorism Memorial Foundation. This organization is working to build a permanent national memorial in Washington, D.C. to honor the service members, families, and civilians who are impacted by the Global War on Terrorism. This memorial will be a tribute to those who served and also a way to ensure that their sacrifices are recognized and remembered for generations to come. If you'd like to learn more or find out how you can support their mission, visit GWATMemorialFoundation.org. Now let's get into today's episode. Hey, Corey, welcome to the show. Really glad to have you here. Looking forward to this conversation and, you know, going to learn a little bit more about you, your background and everything, and kind of getting into the story here. But welcome to the show.
Scott, thanks so much. I'm pumped, man. Let's roll.
Yeah, absolutely. So you served in the Army. Tell us a little bit about your transition, you know, kind of your time in the military, kind of transitioning out of the military and, you know, kind of how that led to where you're at today.
Yeah. So it's been about 10 years since I was in, and I think nothing in my career was traditional, still probably not, but, you know, joined up, I was in the Guard, I did some active duty time as well, you know, after 9/11, mm-hmm. went to deployed to Iraq in 07-08, spent some more time in the Guard, moved from Alabama Guard to the Maryland Guard, where I kind of finished things up. We had a nice little NATO exercise in Germany. And then it's like, that's pretty good swan song, I think. And so there's two of me here. Out in 2015, the Army was basically at the point, I was a little slimmer than I am now, but it was definitely time to make a different choice in careers. And so the Army was very kind in helping me decide that that was indeed time.
They asked you to be successful elsewhere is kind of the...
Yeah, you want to grow your beard out, you no haircuts for a while, we're down for that. So,
yeah.
2015, I came back home and I finished up a master's degree that I had been working on before a while. Graduated from that master's program also around the same time. And then I was working for a small little shop in Montgomery, Alabama, and we had decided at that point, I had moved up to D.C., and I opened up an office for our little shop in D.C., and that it was like a general consulting firm for political campaigns and things like that, and we were getting into polling and research and things of that nature, and so I opened up that D.C. office. A couple years later, I got a job at a larger corporate polling firm, and then I did that for about 7 years, and hell, now we're in, this is November, so I've been away from that corporate job since September of last year.
Okay.
Trying to figure out, you know, like what I'm going to do, and maybe open up my own shop, which we did in January, a business partner of mine, and I decided to do our own thing, you know, like we took all the gripes and things that we'd had for the previous, you know, jobs that we'd had and said we could do it better. Boy, did we pick a time. Like we were like, let's get into government consulting. And then Elon was like, no, don't think so. We're going to doge that out.
Right.
But yeah, it's been a weird year, but I've been excited because we started that business. And then I also started my show, Eat Your Feelings, which has been a passion project of mine. And it's just been, it's been a year of ups and downs, but I'm very excited that, you know, it's not too, I've learned that it's never too late.
Sure.
You know, even at the ripe old age of 47, there's still like new territories to conquer, and I'm excited to try to do that.
Yeah, you can definitely teach an old dog new tricks, and you can, you know, always reinvent yourself and find that new thing, you know, pretty much at any stage along the way. And you know, I've done that myself several times throughout my career, is, you know, just kind of reinvent things and say, hey, this just isn't serving me anymore. It's not working for me, and it's not fulfilling, and I want to try something new. So I go try something new. And you know, I've talked to many people on this show who have had similar kind of things where, you know, maybe the corporate grind was just killing them, you know, taking their soul basically. And, you know, they wanted to go try something on their own, and they did, and they loved it. And they're just having, you know, the time of their lives doing this kind of stuff. So, you know, kind of like you said, you know, you had a few gripes with the job that you had, and, you know, now that you're kind of the boss, you can kind of do things the way you want. And none of those gripes really have to be an issue anymore, you know, going forward. Right.
If anybody's going to cause me stress, it's going to be me. You
know? Right. I mean, we're good at that as it is. We can cause ourselves a whole heck of a lot of stress, but, you know, that's our doing, and we got to figure that out. It's not like, you know, we at least have control over that. It's not like you have to convince somebody else to
exactly
stop giving you stress or whatever. So, but you mentioned your show, Eat Your Feelings. Tell us a little bit about that show and kind of how that came about. And I know you said it's kind of a passion project, but, you know, what kind of show is it, and what can the audience kind of hope to take away from it?
Yeah, so I don't know how much you like cooking. I like cooking. I like eating. So cooking and eating go hand in hand.
They kind of do, yeah.
The impetus of the show was, if I had to look at the foundation, it's all about resiliency, mental health awareness, problems that you and I were talking to, you know, like-minded people, and even some not like-minded people about a lot, I'm sure.
Sure.
It came from loss, you know, it came from needing to find purpose. And the purpose for me wasn't going to be like, I need to make more money. I need to buy this or do that for my own fame or to raise my profile. Like, my purpose was not in any of that stuff, which kind of gets juxtaposed in corporate America, which is, I think, one of the reasons why I decided to try to do my own thing. But it came from this place where there needs to be more talking. There needs to be more authenticity. There needs to be more comfort with people being able to share their feelings and being able to talk to people and being able to be seen and be heard.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that I couldn't go a couple different directions with it. I couldn't go down like this woke avenue where it was like, I just want to identify, like, victim mentalities, and I wasn't interested in that.
Sure.
And I knew I couldn't go down this road of, like, just making it this boring clinical, like it was a VA presentation, you know, and I'm wanting people to come engage with it.
Yeah.
So the cooking and the acting like a jackass, you know, like that kind of became the sugar coating to the pill of the mental health awareness. And okay. My co-host and I knew that was kind of the vehicle for us to be able to deliver that kind of real talk, authenticity. Like, we can pull you in with some of the recipes and some of the silliness, but we're also going to, like, you know, one second we'll have you laughing, the other second maybe you'll shed a tear, because, like,
sure,
that's what life is, you know. Like, I'm sure you, Scott, went through many times where to get through difficult situations, you pulled out the old, you know, graveyard humor with your buddies and,
oh yeah,
you know, some of those, like, unit cookouts, and, you know, a lot of times food is what kind of, like, made things easier for us, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to take that, turn it into something tangible that people could engage with, and the YouTube aspect of it was, like, I wasn't going to, you know, the Food Network or A&E and trying to pitch this.
Sure.
Because I have no idea how that works, but I can make a YouTube video. And so, using all the experience I have and this little team that I created, we hope that gives us a leg up. Like, we've got marketing, communications, you know, agency experience.
Mm-hmm.
Can we take all of those lessons learned and, like, build a brand and a YouTube channel not from the standpoint of like being a 20 something year old YouTube creator, but like apply all these lessons learned. And that's, you know, that's, I mean, we're 9, maybe 10 weeks now from kind of starting up, and I feel like we've got good traction and we're feeling really good.
Yeah. And as you're talking, I'm starting to think about food and, you know, kind of how it relates to, you know, kind of everything you were just talking about there. And a couple memories came to mind as you're talking, and some of them are really impactful memories that I have, and they all took place over a meal with somebody, you know, and it didn't have to be a great meal. It could have even been a meal that you had in the Army that, you know, it wasn't, you know, let's just face it, wasn't the best food, you know, all the time.
Mac, that, you know, that's right.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, sometimes you're out in the field and you get lucky, and, or maybe it's, you know, a holiday or something like that, and you might get lucky, but so, sometimes it wasn't even necessarily because it was a great meal. It was the company that you had. It was the, yeah, sure, food was a part of it that kind of brought everyone together. And ideally, when you have control over it, you'd like it to be a good meal, right? But some of those great memories were because of sitting down at the table together and having, you know, either some laughs or some tears or whatever it was. And that brings people together in a way. And I think, you know, while cooking in from your perspective, it's probably a creative thing too. You know, you get to express yourself a little bit, try different flavors and try different, you know, types of cooking and things like that. But particularly for the veterans who maybe aren't getting together with people as often, if there's, I don't know, you know, potluck dinner at a VFW or something like that, like bring some food and you know, go meet with people and like-minded people maybe and kind of get together with those folks, right?
Yeah, I mean, my co-host said, I love this, but he says, everybody's got to eat and everybody's got to go through shit.
Yeah.
You know, and we took that literally, right? And then like put it at the intersection. This thing of like what you're talking about is like those moments where food is maybe not necessarily central, but it's there. It's present. And it's opening the door for fellowship, right? Mm-hmm. And camaraderie. And even sometimes, you know, difficult conversations that need to be had that are easier to have when there's food involved, when there's cooking involved. And
yeah,
for us, the cooking aspect is actually, for me especially, it's very therapeutic, right? I can get in, and not every time. Now, sometimes I can get stressed AF when it comes to cooking. But a lot of times, I go to the kitchen because I'm going to be by myself. And I know that the outcome is something I'm going to share with my family or share with, you know, somebody else. And I'm proud of that. I want that. I want them to enjoy that. But like that moment that's happening where I'm cooking that food is mine.
Yeah.
Like, no, and people know, like here in this house, there's when Corey wants to be alone cooking and when Corey's happy that other people are around cooking. And
sure,
like I use it for both of those moments because it helps in both of those situations.
Right. Yeah, but it's funny as you're mentioning that, I think of my daughter, she's 13. She loves to cook and bake and she loves being in the kitchen. Like that's just her, she finds a lot of joy in that. But very often when she's in the kitchen and she's cooking or baking something, she doesn't want anyone else around. Like, don't mess up my flow. I have my ingredients where I want them. I have my mixing bowl. I have my everything that I need where I want it. Don't come in here and start messing up my kitchen when I'm cooking.
Like, and why
do you like that? Just go. You know. It's like, just calm down. You're going to be able to eat it in just a minute. Like, just let me finish here, you know?
Right.
And, but you're right. It's a way to, like, a lot of times people will use art or, you know, other things where you can just get really engrossed in it and really involved in whatever it is that you're doing. And you kind of turn off all the noise, all that stuff that's going on in your head or, you know, things that you're worried about at, you know, work tomorrow or, you know, the things that you got going on. You can just kind of be present in the moment. This is what you're working on, right? Yeah.
Focus it. And that can be, you know, that the hyper vigilance, right?
Like, yeah.
Sometimes you just need somewhere to put all that.
Sure.
You know, like in a place where you feel safe. and you feel like you're in control, right? And you just can focus all of that negative energy, all of that weird energy into something. Mm-hmm. And what I'm a big believer in, there's no one size fits all thing, right? Like, you can't have this overarching view on therapy, because sure, people are different people. And if you like to go surfing and that helps you, if you like to do horseback riding, if you like your service dog, if you like whatever it is, you know, like, find it, you know, and once you find it, you'll know, because it gives you that release. It gives you that place to dial in. Mm-hmm. That can help so much when, you know, like, you're out driving and you go under an overpass, or you see stuff on the side of the road, or you're in fireworks, like all the different things that people talk about.
Yeah.
For me, the kitchen is really a place where I can really, that and the garden, you know, I can just let myself deal, you know, with things. And it's been very helpful for me.
Yeah. And again, like you said, there is no one size fits all solution to any of this. So someone might be out there and be like, you know, I don't like cooking. This is not for me. Well, it doesn't have to be for you. You don't have to be a great chef or baker or, you know, anything like that. Like you said, garden too, you know, there's something else there. It could be working on a car. You know, if you're more mechanically inclined, you go work on your car or go, you know, whatever, do find something that you can kind of focus all that energy into and make it something productive, something that is, you know, brings you some joy and happiness and, you know, whatever. It could be hitting a bucket of golf balls at the driving range or something, you know, whatever it is. Like, you need to just be focused on whatever that activity is in that moment and not be worried about all the other crap that's going on in the world and in your world and other people's worlds and things like that. Just be present in that moment. And I think that's kind of the gist of that. But in this case, in your case, what you're talking about, you know, cooking and preparing food in general is something that you do, that you found has worked for you. And you get to share that now, you know, through the show, you can share that with other folks. And like you said, have some laughs, have some tears maybe. Sure. But one of the things that you mentioned earlier, you know, if everyone came together and like sat down for a meal and they're talking and, you know, working through stuff, if there was no food involved, they'd really have no reason to come to that table and sit down and have conversations and whatnot. And they would be probably a little more awkward of a conversation, because there might be some of those awkward silences, right? Which, when you're eating, that's cool, because you can just put a bite of food in your mouth and it kind of takes care of that awkwardness a little bit, because you have something to do there. And so, you know, if someone else could be talking, you can eat, and then, you know, switch roles and vice versa. And that way it makes it a little bit easier to have some of these conversations and to listen to other folks and to be able to express yourself and say the things that you want to say. You know, just having that opportunity to come together over a meal, you know, and or even in the kitchen. You know, maybe you're the type of person who wants the help in the kitchen and you want to be together with someone, but while you're doing that, you can have a conversation too, and you get to do those kind of things together. You know, even creating memories, like I mentioned earlier, you know, you can be, you know, it doesn't have to be every single meal is going to be creating memories, but you never know, you know, as you do these things, some of them may stick out with you for the long term, you know?
Yeah, we would have feel like it's like two dudes in the kitchen just hanging out.
Sure.
You know, and Sam, my co-host, is not a veteran. He was not in the service. And I like that, because our audience is not just veterans. Well, I care about veterans, and I want to address those issues that veterans have. I also know that there's a lot of other communities that have those issues, right?
Yeah.
PTS is not just ours. You know, we don't own it.
Sure.
And so him being a civilian, you know, it helps, I think, it helps me realize, like, hey, there's other communities that we're talking to here. There's other audiences that are impacted by these things. And, you know, again, we go right back to that everybody has to go through stuff kind of mentality. And what we wanted to do is, just like you're saying, Scott, is like have this moment where it feels real.
Mm-hmm.
Where we're that, and it for us, it's the same thing. Like, it's hard to talk about some of this stuff.
Yeah.
But we just committed to saying, well, how do we want other people to do this if we can't do it?
That's right.
So even though it's hard for us to talk about some of this stuff, even if it's hard for us to like be vulnerable, we're there in that kitchen backing each other up, and it does make it easier.
Yeah.
When you're trying to like get through a recipe, or you're trying to like figure out how to, hey, am I hitting these themes and the flow of the show? But yeah, I mean, it's kind of magical.
Yeah. And the more you do anything, the easier it is going to get in general. You know, I'm sure someone's going to come with some example of something that's going to be incredibly difficult. That doesn't matter if I did it 1,000 times, it's still going to be difficult, but you know, whatever, you get the point. Like the more you do something in general, it's going to get easier. And so like in your case, like what you were just saying, if, hey, this is some tough stuff for me to open up about. And maybe the first time you talk about it, you don't really get into the nitty gritty details. You just kind of surface level and you start talking about it, but you know, you're kind of like dipping your toe in the water of something that you're not too sure about. And then when you realize like, hey, that wasn't too bad. I was able to say what I needed to say, and that, you know, didn't come out and bite me, and I guess I'm okay. So maybe I can go into a little bit more detail next time, and then the next time maybe even a little bit more, and until it gets a little bit easier. But when you have that distraction of some other activity, so for example, like cooking in this case, you have that distraction that, hey, you know what, I said what I wanted to say right now, and now let me just go back to cooking. And it's not like another awkward silence or kind of moment like that. So you can do that. And, you know, in doing what you're doing, you're leading by example, and you're showing other people like, hey, it's okay to be vulnerable and to say what you need to say and to open up and talk to people. And like,
it can be helpful just to hear somebody else saying those things.
Sure. Yeah. You're
feedback from people that's like, I would never, but like watching you guys, that's helpful to me. And I'm like, cool, man, that's good. That's what, then we're doing the right thing. And I'm happy.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it gives the people almost permission to go out and you know, start kind of almost copying what you're doing. And, you know, whether it's cooking or they find something else that is their thing, but it allows them to say, hey, you know, if this guy can do it, I don't know, why can't I do it? You know, and you know, that could be the thing that just kickstarts somebody else's, you know, recovery journey. So it's great that you're doing what you're doing, and that you're putting it out there, you know, basically for the world to see, right? And anyone out there can pretty much check it out. But you know, as you're having these conversations, and you know, and you're cooking at the same time, you said before, it's really just two guys in the kitchen, you know, cooking and sharing stories and chatting, things like that. Tell us how like your typical episodes kind of come together. And I know it's a, you know, kind of a newish thing. So, you know, your vision anyways, for the listeners who want to, you know, maybe check it out, how do you see these episodes kind of coming together in the future, and you know, how it's going to kind of impact the audience, as far, like what their takeaway is. Is it more on the cooking or the recipes or things like that? Or is it more on the conversations and the other stuff surrounding it?
Yeah. That's a lot. Let me unpack that, Scott.
Sure.
You're asking a lot of this old.
I'm right getting now. Deep.
So when we got to thinking about what the show was going to be like, I had a lot of influences. You know, I'm a big, huge fan of Matty Matheson, for people that don't know who he is. You should go check him out. He's a chef in Toronto, but he's on The Bear, that TV show on FX. And just a cool dude, man. Like, he's involved in so many things. His energy makes me feel like I need to have more energy. But he was one of those guys that influenced me. There's no shortage of cooking shows on YouTube. But I wanted to have some of that professionalism in the way, the look and feel of the show. But I felt like one of our differentiators was going to be the real talk, the mental health aspect. And so I needed to figure out a way to have the cooking show and be able to do that. And that actually ended up being the hardest part. Because as you can imagine, there's a very important thing a cooking show has to do. It has to cook a recipe.
Sure.
So that definitely gives you, like, you've got to get through that. Like, otherwise you're failing, right? So the look and feel of Eat Your Feelings show is that kitchen, professional kitchen. We have four cameras. It's a multicam, seven mics. You know, it's supposed to look and feel like a cooking show.
Sure.
At the same time, we have a flow that we have to go through that not only accounts for cooking a recipe, but also making sure we're going to hit the right themes that we're going for, that we're tying the dish into the themes. And if we have a guest come on with us, you know, it even makes that more difficult, because now you're having to make sure that other person is included in the flow and the feel. We do some side stuff as well, like some iPhone filmed stuff that's not, you know, it looks like an iPhone film thing. It's not as professional looking
sure.
as the show. But the show itself was, so season one, it was like a mini season. We did 4 episodes for season one. The last one will drop soon. We filmed all 4 of those episodes in one day. One is because it costs a lot of money. And, you know, you have to be budget friendly. That was something that we said, if we do more seasons, we are never going to film 4 episodes in one day again. And we're actually getting ready, Scott, to do season 2 in just a couple of weeks. So we'll be filming 10 episodes over 4 days.
Okay.
And the more you go through this, the more you learn. I there's so many things I didn't know about, like, what that was going to be like. I had been on shoots for, like, commercials, you know, and working with agencies on, like, you know, 30-second, 90-second commercial. But one, I'd never been in front of the camera. And two, I've never been, this long form thing was very new to me. So a lot of it was just like, we're going to screw around and screw up and, like, let's see what happens.
Sure.
And, you know, you film maybe for like an hour just to get down. Like, you, that gives you enough content to then edit it down to 15 minutes or so. So we started learning all those things, and really, like, none of the dialogue is scripted or anything, but it's, things are scripted out enough to give us the guardrails we need to get through a recipe, and they're scripted out enough for us to, like, know when certain things need to happen, or at least when to integrate certain parts of a story
sure.
into the show or whatnot. But yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm still learning. I'm going to probably learn a whole lot. I'm the kind of guy who, I'm always learning. Like, you know, I'll go to my grave learning, like, how deep actually 6 foot actually is. Like, that's that's how I feel. That's how I approach life.
Yeah. And part of what you're just saying is, I think, important no matter what you're doing, is to keep trying things. And yeah, of course, you're going to try something and you're going to mess up. You're going to fail at one point or another at whatever it was you're trying to do. But that's part of the learning process, and that's fine. And if you're not trying to push yourself and try new things and everything, you're just going to get the same thing that you've always gotten. And so, you know, it makes sense that, like, hey, you're starting something new. Yeah, of course, it's not going to go 100% smoothly right out the gate. You're going to have a couple stumbling blocks. I mean, when I started this show, I didn't have a clue how to do a podcast. I didn't know all the technology that goes into it. I didn't know any of the cameras and the lighting and the microphones and all the things that you need. And I was like, you know what, screw it. I'm not going to get any better sitting here twiddling my thumbs thinking about it. I might as well just start doing it. And then when something doesn't work, I'll understand, hey, well, that didn't work. Don't do that again, dummy, you know, and move on. And so, like, that, I think, is, it's not just about cooking. It's just not about a YouTube show, not about a podcast. That's about pretty much anything that you're trying to accomplish. Is, like, the best time to start was yesterday, and the next best time to start is right now. And so, like, just get started. Is it going to go 100% smoothly? Nope. Guaranteed it's not. Is it okay? Yeah, of course. You know,
so much balance you have to strike, right? Like, I think,
yeah,
as I'm here at this age, there's so many things that I've just made up my mind to do that I wish I would have thought about earlier, or I knew earlier. You know, be fearless, be shameless, but find the balance in those things.
Yeah.
Like you're saying, you know, we're going through the process right now of trying to pick up sponsors, trying to pick up guests. And one thing I tell Sam, who's a good bit younger than me, is, like, listen, I know what the answer is going to be if I don't write so-and-so an email asking them something. I know what that's going to be like. It's going to mean that we don't get anything, right? I've had many more people not write me back, but it's the ones that do write back that make that fearlessness and that drive-on attitude, mm-hmm. like, so important. And something that I, like, if I'm telling somebody things who I'm scared of this, or I'm, you know, like, what if it doesn't work out, or what if they tell me no, or like, well, I mean, like, they won't tell you yes either if you don't ask them, you know,
right.
If you don't take that leap and do this thing, you know, like, I have no business creating a YouTube show, right? And even if it fails, like, why prevent myself when I have the capabilities to do it from doing it? You never right. know, like, but if you don't do something, if you let your fear keep you from doing something, then you know how that's going to turn out.
Yeah.
So
100%
it's
guaranteed.
Just about like just, yeah. I'm going to email everybody I want to. I'm going to take all these actions that I want to, you know, because that's what I feel like I need to do. The thing will not fail because I didn't act. That will not be the reason that it doesn't yeah. work out. And that's been, you know, I'd say something over just the last couple of years, that just realizing that and owning that, and then just being stubborn enough to not let any of those past feelings hold me back. I feel like that's part of the reason why there's, you know, I feel like this is, the momentum's good. We are getting some cool guests coming on, you know, like there's things that are happening
yep.
that I think is directly correlated with the action taken. And I didn't 10 years ago, I would not have done that.
Sure.
Know, 5 years ago, I might not have done that.
Yeah. And again, that's all part of life. It's part of learning and part of growing as a person. And, you know, for you, maybe it took doing the show to get that lesson, you know, kind of drilled into you. But,
yeah.
You know, for other folks, I don't care what it is that you're trying to do. If you don't do some sort of action or ask or, you know, something along those lines, the answer is going to be no. It's yeah. just not going to happen 100% every single time. You'll never get what you're looking for if you don't do something for it. It's not just going to fall in your lap. You know, you're not, for you, you're not going to just have that, you know, that perfect guest that you've had on the, in the back of your mind. Like, I'd love to have this person come on the show, be a guest. This would be a perfect fit. It would be wonderful. They're not going to just call you up one day and be like, hey, by the way, I saw your thing and I want to be a guest. You know, they might, you know, at some point in time, but you can't count on it to happen.
For it, it'll never happen. That's
yeah,
like,
exactly.
It's just go get it, you know?
Like, exactly.
If you want to,
you know, I've had some folks on this show that I reach out to really not expecting any kind of response back. I was just like, hey, if it happens, great. If it doesn't, yeah, all right, well, I gave it a shot, you know. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's taken some time. You know, it wasn't like I got an answer and then, you know, the next day we're recording an interview. Sometimes it's taken a few months or so just to work out schedules and all the stuff that you need to do. But, you know, eventually it happens. And it's, again, not every single time, but it wouldn't have happened if I didn't reach out. So I guess, you know, take the initiative and do the things that you need to do. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't have to be a YouTube show or a podcast or any of that kind of stuff. It could be your business, whatever it happens to be, your job. It could be stuff in relationships. It could be stuff in, you know, even taking charge of your own mental health. You know, if it's like, hey, I really need to go talk to someone about this. I know I do, but, you know, I'm just not, you know, well, then you can't expect anything to get better if you're just going to sit around doing the same thing that you've always done.
That's
maybe
right.
You do got to go pick up that phone and make a phone call and make an appointment with someone. But, you know, no, they're not going to call you and make the appointment for you. You know, you're going to have to do that for yourself.
The promise is not like it's going to be easier. You know, it's not. When I talk to veterans who are trying to figure out what to do, if they're lost their purpose, or even, you know, people in the corporate world who, I want to work at this specific place, or I want to get
yeah.
to this role, or you know, the magic pill is not that it's going to be easy. Matter of fact, it's probably going to be some of the hardest stuff you've ever done.
Yeah.
Right. But I think that if you can match the desire for change, right, or the desire for what's next with the passion, then I think what ends up happening is that work you're put into it, it's more fulfilling.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It puts something in that hole that was there. And it's not just something. It's something that you can look at and say, like, I'm proud of this.
You're right.
Or I'm glad I did this. Or this yeah. is making a difference. You know? And, like, I think too many times we get stuck in this place where, like, oh, I just wish it was easier. Like, well, like, No, that's not how it's going to work out most of the time. But it'll feel better. Like, you'll find out that, like, even if it's you're working harder than you've ever worked before, you're going to feel so much better up here and in here that it just needs to be worthwhile.
Yeah.
Right? It needs to be something that's worthwhile. Because, like, if you're grinding and you're pushing and you're doing it for all the wrong reasons, or if you're doing it for, like, reasons that just don't really fulfill you in here, yeah, it's going to suck. So you got to match all that stuff up together.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I think that fulfillment piece and that meaningful piece is a huge piece of it, because without that, you're right, that's just going to suck your soul dry, and you're just going to be, you're going to be hating every second of it if it's something that's hard that you have to do and you hate it. Like, don't,
I mean,
like,
life is hard. Like, and yeah. Life is finite. So you have to take advantage of the time that you have. And that, you know, I feel like I'm talking about a bunch of different things, but it all for me means that every moment I try to spend in a way that I think is right, and also in a way that's, like, meaningful, to your point. I want to be able to look back at the end of the day and say, like, oh yeah, I contributed to this and that, and but those things aren't being, you know, they're meaningful and they're purposeful, and they have effects, good effects, positive effects on yourself and other people. And I think that's I waited way too long, I think, to get this sort of mindset, but it's made a huge difference. Even though I'm working, you know, as hard or harder than I have been in quite some time, the stress is different. It's not so harmful to me, you know. It doesn't make me feel so bad. My family notices a difference. The people that I'm around notice a difference, you know, and you're like, okay, well, this is worth it.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, and a lot of times, you know, to kind of push yourself in that right direction, you kind of need that external motivation sometimes. Like, you know, I want to be better for fill in the blank, whoever that person is, my kids, my wife, my, you know, whoever. You know, I want to be better for that. And so what is it I need to do? Maybe I need to get my ass off of the couch and you know, get some sunshine on my face, or go talk to somebody, or, you know, just find that thing to get that spark back inside of you. But sometimes you do need that kind of external motivation. But, you know, at the end of the day, it comes back to you, and you have to want it. And for whatever your reason is, I guess at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. But you have to want it for one reason or another. And if you don't do the thing, it's not going to be done for you. You know, whatever that thing is, right?
Yeah. I think it should matter, right? Like, I think a good buddy of mine, and we were talking about this the other day.
Okay.
I mean, the DC hustle is, it's a real thing, right? But there's lots of places like that, right? Where you grind. You're like, I'm going to grind it out. I'm going to just keep pushing. My work ethic is solid. And I said, that's perfect. But there's a million people that can say that. And they do, that they are. But can they say that their compass is pointing in the right direction?
Sure.
You know, whether it's like, I mean, ethically, moral, whatever, right? But, like, is the outcome like a materialistic, you know, oh, I want to drive value for Apple shareholders, you know? Like what? Where's the, like, common, like, do more for your common man kind of thing? I think that is a huge piece of what will make somebody feel whole.
Yeah.
Especially if they're hurting and they're struggling, right? So it's not just the effort and the grind. I'm willing to grind, you know, sun up to sun down. But if you're doing all that grinding effort, is your compass pointing in a good direction?
Yeah, no, you're right. Absolutely. It does need to be pointing in a good direction, and one that makes you feel full on the inside. You know, and I don't mean from a food perspective, but, you know, filling your soul with, you know, something good that you can look back on and say, you know, this is a good thing that I'm doing. This is not just, hey, I'm out there just grinding because I want to make $1 million or whatever. Right. You know, you're out there grinding for a purpose, And I think when I was saying, you know, it doesn't matter what that is, I think to that point, what I meant was everyone's purpose is going to be different, and where that compass is pointing is going to be different for you than it is for me and for the next guy. And so, you know, where it is, it's important to that individual, but, you know, ultimately, you know, I'm not going to tell you where your compass needs to be pointed, because that's up for you to decide. You know, yeah. It should be pointed in a good direction for sure. You know, not doing evil and being being a bad person, but yeah, we there's enough of that in the world. We don't need any more of that. So for folks who are out there listening to this, and they like food, they like cooking, they like, you know, kind of the gist of what we've been talking about here. I'm sure there's some folks out there who want to get involved with the show, you know, either, you know, as a listener, maybe even say, hey, throw their hat in the ring and could I be a guest? And maybe that will land in your plate or land in your lap. But, you know, where can people find the show? I know you said YouTube, but, you know, kind of tell people, you know, what the channel is and all that kind of stuff too.
So on YouTube, we're at Eat Your Feelings Show. On Instagram and TikTok, we're at Eat Your Feelings Show. We tried to keep it simple, right?
Like, that is simple.
There was already so many letters involved. We're like, oh, we better not change it up.
Right.
Platform to platform. Even the website, eatyourfeelingsshow.com. I think we're trying to be on all of the platforms, and we're trying to be consistent. We've got a wonderful social media editor who keeps us on track and making sure that there's clips, and like, she's awesome. That's the first one of the first hires we had, and I was very happy to make. And so, yeah, all the TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, we're going to be on all of them. The actual full cooking episodes you'll find on our YouTube channel, and then all the other platforms, you know, there's clips. And
sure.
We're experimenting with some short form recipe cooking, and we'll put those recipes in those descriptions for those videos. But like, for the most part, the long form, full episodes of the show, you can find at YouTube.
Excellent. Any last advice or any last kind of closing comments that you might have for folks who might be listening? You know, again, show's largely veteran based, so, you know, at least an audience that you're familiar with, but
sure.
You know, for them or their families or someone who might be struggling out there, either with mental health challenges or seeking a, you know, a community to be a part of, anything that you might have to kind of close it out?
Yeah, I'd say talk to somebody, you know. I mean, obviously, if you can find a therapist, that's the best course of action, to find a professional. And I know sometimes that can be harder than it needs to be. And, you know, treat your mental health like you treat your physical health. If you busted your knee or hurt your back, you're going to go see a doctor. Like, don't let your mental health be any different than that. And sometimes you're not just going to settle on a doctor. Right, you're going to want to shop around a little bit. You're going to want to find the one that works for you. Same thing with a therapist, right? Like, don't rule out therapy because you had one therapist and you didn't like them. So like, be willing to get out there and shop around. But even if you don't go to a therapist, you know, there's people in your life that will help you. You'll be surprised what a person will do for you if they only knew you needed that thing to be done.
Yeah.
So go out there, find those people in your life that are meaningful to you, and talk to them and give them the option, the opportunity to want to be there for you, because I'd say 9 times out of 10, people want to do that. People want to be there for their loved ones, for the people they care about. It's hard. I know it's hard, but you would be surprised how good you feel just taking that step and opening up and just having somebody there to talk with about things.
Yeah, absolutely. And to your point, how many people out there have gotten a bad haircut, but they still go get their haircut? You know, like, just because you had one bad experience doesn't mean you're going to just stop altogether, right? Like, yeah, sure, you maybe are going to go find a different barbershop to go to, but you're still going to get your haircut at some point. So, you know, same thing with your physical health, same thing with your mental health. Just because you had one bad experience doesn't mean that they're all going to be bad. They may be uncomfortable for sure, but sometimes, like we were saying before, sometimes that you might need that. To get you through.
The best therapist can work through that.
Yeah.
Right? You just got to find them. Be willing to get out there and like, don't hold it in. Don't keep it in. You know,
yeah.
don't think you got to do everything by yourself. Right. We want to help each other. Right. I think it just, sometimes we just got to open up. People got to know.
I mean, this show, I think, is a great example of that. I mean, we've we've had hundreds of guests on this show talking about all different types of topics. And I don't think there's a single guest out there that I've had yet that if somebody came to them, it's like, hey, I'm having some trouble. I'm having some struggles. I need some help and whatever. I don't think there's anyone out there that I've talked to who would just be like, well, you know, tough, you're on your own. You know, like, no, they want, like you said, they want to help. And there's people who, like, I'd be pissed if someone like just refused to talk to me about something, you know, and they just, you know, went off and tried to struggle on their own. And I find out later, like, this guy's struggling and they didn't even say anything. It's like, what the hell?
That's right. You know, so be on your own. You don't have to be on your own.
Exactly. So great words of advice. Great way to kind of close this out. I will have the links to your show, the website, the YouTube channel, and all that kind of stuff in the show notes for the listeners. So check it out there. Corey, thanks so much again for coming on the show. Thanks for all that you're doing. I think this is a great take on mental health, the eat your feelings. I know sometimes there's a, you know, association there with, you know, binge eating or, you know, coping mechanisms with, you know, just eating too much or things like that. But this is a different approach, and it's a refreshing approach. I think it's a great way to incorporate food and the mental health side of things and bring them together and show people that it's okay to open up and talk and do the things that bring you some joy, bring you some comfort in life. And, you know, maybe it's a little bit of Dr. Phil mixed with, I don't know, an Emerald or something like that too. But, you know, it might be, you know, something like that. If, you know, people are out there and they're struggling, this might be the thing that helps get them moving in the right direction. So thanks again for all that you do.
Well, Scott, thank you for allowing me this platform. I enjoyed this conversation. It was great. And I, you know, go check it out, people. I feel like 60% of you will mostly enjoy almost everything we have.
Well, hopefully it's a much bigger percentage than that, but we'll get some people sent over your way, and yeah, definitely go check it out, subscribe and all that kind of stuff. I know I'm going to, and you know, I think it's definitely a great platform. So thanks again, Corey, and looking forward to some of those recipes.
Appreciate you, Scott. Thanks.